Revenue Chat episode 101. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out. The Dream Business community at tonydurso.com/community. Get the Revenue Chat mobile app for your Android or iPhone. It's free. Download from onelink.to/revchat. That's onelink.to/revchat. Priest Willis is the Director of Affiliate Marketing for Affiliate Mission, the fastest growing affiliate management startup in North Carolina. He got his start in affiliate marketing in early 2000s, where he cut his teeth building a few niche affiliate sites and managing sites like Lenovo, Atomic Park, and also Buy Costumes, where he grew their affiliate program exponentially and won several industry awards. Priest shows us how to hack our job to build a life next on Revenue Chat. Hello again, and welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. In our last episode 100 with John Mautner, we went over the remaining 6 tools of the top 10 tools to build a profitable high-growth business. Remember, these are not tools that John made up. They came from a survey of the last 100 companies he coached to get on the right track to grow faster, using an approach he calls Voices of the Company, and then sitting down with the dream team of experts, John found something astounding. Every company has the same list of key points they need help with. I hope you enjoyed that episode. It's packed with a lot of great information to help your business grow even faster. All right. On this episode today, we have Priest Willis, the affiliate manager at Buy Seasons Inc., which houses the e-commerce sites buycostumes.com and Celebrate Express Brands. Priest now leads the affiliate channel, which won buycostumes.com the Commission Junction CJU People's Choice Award in 2010, 2011, and Celebrate Express Brands finalist for CJU People's Choice in 2012. His website is affiliatemission.com. All right, Revenue Crew, let's rev it up. Get ready for Priest to show us how to hack our job to build a life. Here we go. Hello, Priest. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks. And finally, at last, it's so good to have you on Revenue Chat today. I'm really glad we've got the time to hang out now.
Yeah, I'm honored to be on. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, Priest, in our intro, I mentioned a little bit about you, and perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots and how you became an expert in your field and so on. So, Priest, how did it all start for you?
Yeah, thanks. You know, I started early on in 1996 building computers and kind of getting involved on the hardware side. I actually sat down with my father, who kind of showed me how to build my first system. And, you know, from there, I really just started loving computers and enjoying everything that it had to offer. So I actually started a business after, you know, spending so much time. I kind of went to community college to learn a little bit more about just how to fix computers and networking and different things along those lines. And I started a business called PDW Software LLC, where we would fix local computers and then we would drop ship from other companies. So we would leverage companies like MyLabs, Newegg, Anchor Micro, different companies like that. So if somebody ordered a system that was outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is where I was at the time, we would drop ship it. But if they were local, then I would actually put the computer together myself and then deliver it to them there. And after a couple of years, just between eBay and other businesses, it did really well, but it became somewhat stressful just in terms of, especially from the local side, because people were there, you were reachable. So if they had a virus or anything along those lines, they felt like they could just kind of tap you to to help them out, and a lot of times wanted to get it free, and you just dealt with a lot of different moving pieces that way. So I felt like there had to be an easier way to make money rather than on the hardware side, more so online. So I knew HTML, I knew web development, so I started building websites. And I did that for a little while, but then I pivoted again and wanted to figure out how could I make money, but not make money building websites or dealing with hardware. And this is where I started to come down the tunnel with not having any hands-on with any products, but still working with other people in their products, which takes us into affiliate marketing. So I've been doing affiliate marketing for just as long, but I did it as an affiliate during that period. So while I was building computers, selling them on eBay, I was an affiliate. I still had banners up. I started a website with a friend called Urban Knowledge, which was a forum that, you know, people could come and chat and do all that kind of cool stuff. But we only had a couple of players on there, and Amazon was one of the first type of websites at the time that had an affiliate program. So if you go back all the way back, there's a website out called the Wayback Machine. If you search up Urban Knowledge, it's still out there from 1996, where you can see a banner on there from Amazon. And if you look during that time, Amazon and one other company, it's debatable on whether they were one of the first programs to actually have an affiliate program. So fast forwarding, I just decided that I wanted to deal wholeheartedly with merchants and selling products on their behalf, meaning creating websites that write content around their product and sell their product. So essentially all I did was become an affiliate. And from there, I evolved to an affiliate manager, meaning I then worked for the merchant. I no longer was an affiliate trying to sell products, but I would become a manager. So I would represent the merchant themselves and putting their products out there and talking to the different affiliates, people that I just came from. And then that evolved into an agency. And so now we have affiliatemission.com, which we are an outsourced program management agency where we manage multiple different verticals and different retailers and their products. But in the meantime, I also work for Lenovo. So I run their global affiliate marketing channel. We're in 27 different countries. Our affiliate program is in the high 100+ million dollars for their affiliate program. So it's a really experiencing journey that I've been in from start to finish.
Wow, Priest, that is quite a rocket ride. You know, I recall Amazon back then with their affiliate program. It was very new. Maybe they were the first, maybe not. It was revolutionary. Mm. And I remember that. And I remember Urban Knowledge. You guys were out there. I remember that. And what struck me was, believe it or not, I don't know that I've mentioned this anywhere, or maybe I have, but Amazon, their motto was just get as big, as fast as possible and do anything and everything to just grow and let the profits come later. And I remember for a couple of years, they generated no profit. It all went back into the company.
That's very true. And, you know, it's funny that you bring up growing as fast as they can, because one of the ways they discovered they could do that is through affiliate marketing. Was what's one way that we could spread ourselves out, but we're not hiring people to sit inside here, if you will, or we're not necessarily doing the marketing efforts, but we're incentivizing other people to do that for us. And even today, the affiliate marketing model, if you're a business that wants to start up and grow and you're selling your widget, that same principle that you're bringing up about Amazon is true. The fastest way to probably do that is through affiliate marketing, because you're hiring people to be your influencers and kind of plug in as your marketing people. And it's relatively low risk, right? Because these guys are getting paid based on some incentive, whether it's a lead or cost per action or acquisition. So yeah, Amazon kind of picked it up right away and ran with it.
Very cool, Priest. Now, you know, we've kind of have almost a dichotomy here, because the subject of our interview today is hacking our life to build a life, hacking our job to build a life. And now we're talking about affiliate mission and affiliates. So let's kind of put this together. Let's talk about building that side hustle. And I presume that the affiliates is going to get involved in that. So let's start there, please. How do we do that and build that side hustle?
Yeah. So all along the way, you know, when I talked about building computers and all these different pieces, I've always worked a job 9 to 5. I'm completely involved. You know, when I first started learning how to work computers, I worked at an insurance company. But shortly after, I started at a company called AtomicPark.com. And loyal employee, I would win awards there. I would totally be involved. But when I got off, I would spend some time with my wife and my little kids at the time. But then at nighttime, I would just grind away at eBay and wake up the next day and kind of do it all over again. But the reason why I'm making this clear is because a lot of times people are saying, hey, when you find these side hustles, you should go ahead and quit your full-time job. And I'm always of the thought that, hey, if you're not really making enough money as a side hustle, then there's no need for you to quit your full-time job. All you need to do is kind of come up with a system. And, you know, let me put a thumb there to say that my wife was extremely supportive. So I'm sure there's, you know, people that are stretched in a lot more areas. So you'll have to figure out what that means for you in terms of your balance. But I found a kind of lane that worked for me. So all along from the very beginning, you know, then I go over to buycostumes.com, Celebrate Express. I'm running their affiliate programs. And again, at nighttime, I would work, do different stuff. I would buy domains, sell domains. I would build systems during that time. I evolved over into affiliate marketing. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm working at Lenovo right now doing a global job. It's very involved, can be stressful, pulled in a lot of different directions. And I just find opportunities either during the week. I just make a commitment to invest in myself to say, look, you know, the days, Tony, of you getting kind of a gold watch at a job are probably slim to none. Meaning, you know, when my dad was working, if he worked his 25 years at a company, he would get a gold watch and a cake and celebrate it off on a horse into the sunset. And those days essentially are gone. So if you really want to build a life for yourself to be happy, I wouldn't look to your full-time job to do that, nor would I take unnecessary risk to leave your full-time job while you're building your side hustle. So as I'm talking about creating that agency for Affiliate Mission, I am a full-time employee working and, again, committed. I've won awards at Lenovo. I'm wholeheartedly involved in my company, and that's why I've been able to be successful, because I don't take shortcuts, but I'm also not cutting myself short on what I want to do outside of my full-time job.
That is amazing, Priest. And you know, by the way, just for the record, my dad did get a gold watch for working in a in a sheet metal plant in Chicago. Swear to God, he got his gold watch. I remember him bringing it home going, here's the watch. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. They gave you that. He goes, yeah. He goes, I left the company and I'm done. I'm like, I was kind of young at the time. I go, oh my God, what did you do? But what a cool watch. It was all gold. Yeah, it really happens. And I'm sure happens far less these days, because the norm is no longer working one place, one job, one career for the rest of your life. The norm is, what, a couple years now, Priest? It's not very long.
Yeah, if you look at LinkedIn, and I have throughout different professionals, I think the average time is 2 to 5 years. Somebody is at a company, and then they'll jump to the next company. And they're in search of something, Tony. They're in search of happiness. They're in search of, you know, but jobs are moving across the shores, either in different states, whatever it may be, that it kind of shakes people's life. And the approach that I take is, hey, if there's one way to be happy. You don't look to your employer to be happy after work, right? You have to find yourself plugging into something else. So when I say hacking your full-time job, I don't want that to come across as, you know, you're slacking your full-time job. Because when people hear hacking, they think, I'm going to tell them like, hey, only work, you know, 4 hours a week and have this Tim Ferriss approach. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be a committed employee, give everything you have. But I know for an absolute fact that everyone has some time, whether it's on the weekend or a dedicated 2 hours a week, that they could slice into creating something that they really, really want, whether that's an app, starting a business. But you have to hack your full-time job. And that's what I mean. You come up with so many great ideas for other things. Come up with a real creative way to extend yourself as an entrepreneur if that's ultimately what you want to do.
I love it. I love it. And it makes such perfect sense. I'm totally with you. And by the way, we run parallel paths in a bit in that for many years, I did lead generation. So I'm really well aware of this through and through. And I want to tell our revenue stars, AKA the Revenue Chat listeners, pay very close attention to this, because whatever you're doing and no matter what you're doing, this really works. Pay attention to what Priest is going to say next. This is how you're going to hack your life Am I saying that right? How to hack your job to build a life. I don't know why I'm saying it backwards.
Yeah, it's how to hack your job to build the life that you want. Again, some of that is some sacrifices in the beginning, right? You're probably going to stay in your office or in your basement or in your garage, you know, a little bit. You may not sit at the family table or at the table with your family. You may miss a couple of meals. But what is the life that you ultimately want to get to? And that's what you're working towards. So you have to kind of see the bigger picture of your goal in terms of, but I don't want to work a full-time job and do a side thing. Well, you'll either be a slave to the job in a sense, or you'll kind of create the life that you want.
All right, Preesh, let's get into this. First thing people are going to want to get their mind around is compartmenting their time. So how would you, let's call it, set boundaries to build this balance?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, it really depends. You know, now different people are working different hours, they have different schedules, but based on, so the example that I mentioned is I literally had worked 9 to 5. That was kind of my hours. I work in a global position within Lenovo now, so those times can vary. I'm having calls with Australia in Japan late at night, early in the morning. I'm having calls in Germany, but there's still time that is dedicated to me. So I'm still trying to slice out about 20% of my time to create whatever it is I want. So I'll take a little time out during lunch and answer emails and follow up on different things, or nighttime. You'll typically get emails from me at nighttime.
The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. As you know, jobs can be fickle. Here today, gone tomorrow. And owning a business has its own frailties. Bloomberg says 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs fail in the first 18 months. A Harvard study says 3 out of every 4 venture-backed firms fail. And there's other sources with shocking figures of their own, which all point to one very conclusive point. These are scary times we live in. Let's help you in the dream business community. Yes, you. Let's try to give you the information you need now to boost your career or business. And I'll be there every step of the way, helping you along with other experts in many industries. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out, the dream business community at tonydurso.com/community. That's tonydurso.com/community. Do you like the awesome interviews on Revenue Chat? Please help others discover these interviews on iTunes by giving a kind review if you like them. Go to tonydurso.com/iTunes and give a few sentences about what you liked. Let me know and I'll send you something to show my appreciation. That's tonydurso.com/iTunes. And thanks so much. And we're back with Preesh Willis talking about how to hack our job to build a life.
But what I did was, Tony, one of the first things that I did was I went to Upwork.com and I went to get an assistant. So you can go and pay someone $3 an hour. And granted, you have to maybe take some of this money out of your salary that you're currently making to open this time up for you. But you may want to go find an assistant in the Philippines, in India, wherever it may be, pay that person $3 an hour to help assist you with your calendar and setting up appointments and schedules and build a rapport that way. And that will open up time for you to do other stuff so you're not stuck with kind of the mundane details of your business. Also, that'll give you the time needed to continue to focus on your business. I also put out on Craigslist a job opening for someone to help me with some of these affiliate marketing efforts. And I paid that individual X amount of dollars. I wanted an entry-level person so I could train them on exactly what I needed. And I hired them on a part-time basis. Again, that was something else to help me so that while I was continuing to work at Lenovo, now I have an assistant and I have an employee of sorts to help me out with that. So they could help me balance the workload. So somebody could still be there to field phone calls and to help support in different areas that I couldn't respond to because I needed to give Lenovo some of that help. So it was money well spent on the front end for me, although there was no quote unquote ROI on the back of it. But it was money well spent because I knew 6 months down the line, it would begin to pay off for itself. And that's exactly what it's done. So now I'm up to 13 people within our organization, and I still don't have to leave Lenovo because these guys are kind of running the whole business while I'm out, essentially. They're kind of fielding calls. They're answering technical questions. So I would just say, how can you build your life that way? What is your time like, whether you're working second shift, third shift, first shift, whatever it may be? If you take a step back and look at your time, where is that time that you can open up? What are some of the mundane tasks that you have? And whatever those are, maybe it might be worth hiring an assistant to help take that off of your plate so that it can open you up to focus on other things. But you almost need to write that out to really take a step back to look at where you need the first help to get you going.
That's brilliant, Priest. I totally got it. Totally tracking with you. In sync. Beautiful. VAs are the way to go to setting up any side business. Absolutely. All right. So we've got that, the organizational part. Okay. Now let's go into, well, we want to make some money and we want to find some side hustles. How do we find them, please?
You know, the best way to approach a side hustle is, what is it that you think you're good at? So there are always things out there that are catchy and on fire for the year. For example, I'm always hearing about people who want to do Uber and stuff like that, but that may not be relevant for everyone. You may not have a vehicle or something along those lines. You may be in New York and all you take is mass transit, so you're not interested in doing that side. So, you know, instead of trying to catch on with what's hot and getting involved that way, why don't you focus on what is it that you think you're good at? If you're good at writing code, then I would maybe start writing code and signing yourself up on Upwork.com or Freelancer.com or even Fiverr.com and putting yourself out that way and taking on a few jobs and seeing how much your workload can carry. Fiverr.com, believe it or not, is a good place to start, to kind of start as a side hustle. So if you want to do voiceovers, if you want to write blog articles because you're interested in blogging, the reason why Fiverr works so well is because you don't have to commit yourself wholeheartedly to a business. It allows you to take on enough work so that you can see how that balance begins to look. And that goes back to creating boundaries earlier. It'll start you down a path of seeing what times work best for you and how much you really can and can't do.
Very interesting. Very good point so far. All right. So we figure out what we're good at. We test the waters with Fiverr.com or one of these other places, and we kind of work out that balance. All right. Now we want to grow the business. So we want to find people and reach out there. I guess we want to get more connections. What would we do on that, please?
So connections are key when you're kind of creating side hustles. And, you know, you could do the standard cold calling or emails or something along those lines, but, you know, that you'll find that you hit a lot of walls. So what I've found to be very successful is Twitter. A lot of people are very responsive to Twitter, believe it or not. And so, you know, if you haven't done this already, go to conferences, make connections with people. And I'm not talking about just throwing out your business card and making a run for it. I'm talking about creating some genuine relationships with people, again, by Twitter or otherwise, and really diving into those relationships and seeing where the path leads you at. So, you know, one of the things that I do is I also leverage my assistant. So I listen to podcasts. I'm a heavy podcast listener. Tony, I listen to yours. I was very transparent that I've listened to you. You have some great stuff out there. But I'll reach out to my assistant and say, hey, I love this podcast. I would love to talk to this person. Go reach out for me. Again, that's where a virtual assistant can come in. You don't really have to worry about it because she's helping with some of that connection as well. So while you're on Twitter, while you're on email, and people are responsive to email, you know, I don't want to take away from that. I've emailed people just out of the blue. I've explained my story and I've said, here's, you know, what I want to do. It's not about pitching myself. I'm trying to build genuine relationships. Ideally, I want to have a real relationship with you, Tony. I just don't want to pitch myself or do whatever it is to get people out there. That becomes spammy. That's a little bit cheesy. I'm talking about building real connections that I think will last me a lifetime.
Very cool. All right. Very good. And I believe the way we met is you had one of your VAs reach out to me.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. That's proof in the pudding right there. I was a listener, a bona fide listener. I wouldn't want to be on something that I haven't heard or I'm not familiar with. It doesn't do me any good. But if I'm listening to a podcast and I listen to quite a few of them constantly, I'll touch base with my VA and say, hey, this is a podcast I'm listening to. reach out to this woman or this man and see if they'll be interested in talking with me on something. And I feel like I have a story, of course, so I'd love to share it with the audience. And here we are. So the connections work. And I think for the long run, you know, whether you're introvert, extrovert, whatever it may be, work around your strengths. So if you're an introvert, you know, maybe you can't go to conferences financially or whatever it is. So get on Twitter and start trying to create some valuable relationships that way.
Very cool, Priest. And by the way, on Twitter, I find it very, very responsive. It's
yes,
it's intense.
Yes, 100% agree.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go, our revenue stars, the Revenue Chat listeners. Great way to build your connections right there. All right. Well, let's tackle this from another side. Okay. What about outsourcing?
Huge fan on outsourcing. In fact, I'm writing a book and launching it beginning of next year on outsourcing, given tips and sites, just like we've talked about here. I'm a major fan on outsourcing just because I'm a big fan on, again, trying to, you know, hack your time and, you know, find a work-life balance, if you will, which I don't think there's any such thing, by the way. I don't believe in work-life balance, but in general, outsourcing is amazing. Now, there's certain places that I would work with over another. So, for example, primarily, I do a lot of work in the Philippines versus India. I found that, you know, sometimes India has been a lot more challenging because you find yourself talking the people that are doing it, whether it's development or virtual assistant, you find yourself telling them the situation over and over to the point where it, you know, you could do the work yourself, where Philippines are a lot more responsive and stuff like that. So you'll kind of learn your groove. But I think anybody who is interested in becoming an entrepreneur and kind of hacking their full-time job and doing something else should absolutely consider outsourcing. It's been a major win, again, for me, my business, and just me personally, and just my workload.
Very cool, Priest. And yes, I've run into, unfortunately, the same results here in dealing with India and the Philippines. And I am definitely in favor of the Philippines, though there's some very good people in India that do great work. Mm-hmm. They'll do it on the sites such as Fiverr and so forth, a lot of great technical work. But for some reason, I think the Philippines are more acclimated to the U.S. They're a territory, or they act like a territory, though they're not. Yeah. But yeah, it just seems to be more congruent. For some reason, it just seems to work out very well. So cool on that. And now, I think we've covered this, but you know, I want to look at it from another angle. You know, we've got a person or an entrepreneur, they're doing okay, they're doing well, or their job is steady or seems good. And there's we could be talking about this next question for ages, but some people will like, why should I start my own business? Why should I, you know, hack my job and build this life? What are your thoughts on this, kind of to wrap up that point?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a fair question, because some people, you know, my wife is one of them, that she just, now my wife has been a stay-at-home wife for years, but prior to that, she worked in a hand surgery clinic, and for all intents and purposes, she was similar to my father. She could go and work there for 20, 30 years if they'd have her, where I'm just the opposite. I love the work that I do. Every company that I've been at, I've been really blessed in terms of having really good situations, great bosses. I don't really have any testimony of like the bad boss and anybody that chases me out. But again, thinking where our economy is going, and I'm not talking about good or bad. I'll leave that for the politicians. I'm talking about the economy in terms of what it's evolving into, going from more of an industrial economy to, you know, more of a technology-based company or economy or sharing economy or whatever it is. I think you'd be remiss not to see what you have in you, because there's a lot of people that are entrepreneurs and they just don't know it because they haven't given themselves a chance to start anything. Or they think, you know, I make cookies, they're okay, I don't think they're the best. I mean, my neighbors always want them, but, you know, I may not be the... Hey, you may be that. Why don't you allow yourself to at least fail at the worst? Why don't you go out there and just try and see what it's worth? But I think for the long run of the legacy of your life, and this is the way I've always looked at it for me personally. I have four children, two are in college, two are at home still. And I'm always looking at what kind of legacy do I want to leave my family? And that's what it is. I want to build something to be able to pass on in a sense. And it may not be the affiliate agency. It may be something 7 years down the road that's totally restaurant related. I bought into some chain, whatever it is. But my purpose and my heart and my passion is still there, Tony, where I'm wanting to give something greater than what I believe a job can give me. And rather than going in and asking for a raise every year or complaining and they didn't give me this, they don't see this and that, I'm going to create it myself. And I think everybody needs to try to, at least they deserve to try to give themselves that peace to find out what is it that I may be good at that I can start myself.
I love it, Priest. And you know, at about this time of the show, I always ask my guests about purpose and what's their vision, what drives them to keep on. You've answered all that already. We're next. We're moving on. Very good. And I would like just to acknowledge, very good on your vision and what drives you. Very cool stuff. And it just shows you've built up such a nice model, and it's very unique how you've done it. Very cool. And I really hope that our revenue stars here are paying attention, making notes, because every single one of them can do this and grow something. And you know, it's also, while we don't necessarily believe in balance the way it kind of sounds, it's always good to have something else happening, because economies do change, things do happen. And if you have that side hustle going, then you're not thrown off. I tell this very quickly here. I tell this now and then. But there was a point in my career where, for example, I had one customer. I was doing over $1 million in sales on lead generation. Wow. One customer.
Wow.
And one day, I walked into the office on Monday, and I got a cancellation notice from that customer. What happened? Well, there was a federal regulation that came down, and the attorneys decided that we couldn't do business the way we were doing anymore, even though everything was fine. And just like that, in the snap, in the blink of an eye, out of business. So it can and does happen, and we need that side hustle.
Yeah, it can. You know what, Tony? That is so, so good, because maybe sometimes I don't articulate that, and I'm talking about with friends and others, that's how fast it can happen. I mean, we've watched during a period where, what was that energy company, Smartest Men in the Room? They came out with a show, was an energy company in Houston, yeah. I believe. But so anyways, this large energy company builds up. I'm sure everybody felt comfortable. Their 401ks are great. Everything's working fine. You can't see the writing on the wall that the next day when they come in, there's signs like, hey, make sure you pack your stuff. And look, this isn't doomsday talk. This is just, sometimes you have to do a gut check internally. And I bring up the reason why I don't like the work-life balance is because, you know, a lot of times people get frustrated by having to be pulled in a couple different directions, maybe for a season of their life. And they're thinking like, this doesn't work because Priest got on the show and said that this worked for him. No, what you have to understand is the rhythms may change. And as long as you're at peace with that, somebody else may look at it from the outside and say, that's complete chaos that Priest would work until 6-7 o'clock. And then when his kids go to bed, he would get on eBay and start building systems until midnight and get, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. That's chaos to them. But in my lane, Tony, that was totally like a work-life balance that I found right there. So you can't always judge your work-life balance and who's to dictate what is a real work-life balance. You just have to figure out what is your lane that you're most comfortable with. And the reason why you would do it is exactly the reason why you brought up, because a lot of people get very comfortable in their situation, and rightfully so. There's great jobs out there doing really good things for their employees, and I'm not suggesting everybody needs to make a jump, but I am saying, what is the call inside of you that may be trying to pull a little bit more out of you that you're not giving, or you're hesitant to because you think you have to quit your job when really you don't have to?
Exactly. Well said, Priest. Very, very good. Well, we are close to wrapping up now. Is there anything else you'd like to let our audience know about? Any parting shots?
Well, you know, I just want to encourage them. You know, again, there may be something small that you think is relatively small. If you're a great writer, do an ebook and put it out on Amazon, or just continue to challenge yourself to do a little bit more than you have been doing. I'm rooting for you, Tony. I know you're rooting for him. So I've been there. We all have been there, and we're all creating something that takes trials and tests. So my parting shot is just a word of encouragement. I want to see everybody win at the end of the day.
Well, thank you very much. And this is Priest Willis on How to Hack Our Job to Build a Life. And you've said it all very succinct, very spot on. Well done. And I want to thank you very, very much, Priest. I loved it. I learned stuff. I learned stuff in every show. This was good. And it just really, you know, even when you don't necessarily learn something new, for some people, when you hear something and it's the right thing, it just adds more fuel to the fire. And this is the right stuff.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it. And same here. I think you're awesome. And the value of content that you're bringing to the people is really, really good. So keep going with it.
Well, thank you, Priest. Thank you very, very much. An honor again to have you. And once again, everyone, his website is affiliatemission.com. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. Our next episode is 102 with Meredith Bell talking about creating connections that make you unforgettable. The co-founder and president of Performance Support Systems, Meredith Bell is the expert in helping companies develop the people side of their business. An entrepreneur since 1982, one of her strengths is building strong relationships, as she understands what's required to build the loyalty and commitment that leads to repeat business and referrals. Meredith shows us how to create connections that make you unforgettable on the next episode of Revenue Chat. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.